I know I said I wasn't going to drink beer on a show, but yeah, that didn't work, did it? Good morning. It is Saturday, the 10th of November. At the time of recording, it is just gone quarter past midnight, and you are very welcome, even, wow, don't drink beer, to day 10 of Napod Pomo. Now, before I go ahead with what I was going to talk about, I just wanted to point something out. Now, yesterday morning, I gave a shout out to Rich and Jessica, pointing out that Jessica and Rich were driving to school and work in the morning. And these shows that I'm doing at the moment fit quite nicely in the length of time it takes for them to get to where they're going. What I didn't realise and missed out on the opportunity to mention was that it was actually Jessica's birthday yesterday. So, sorry about that. I've already done this on the podcast, but this should be coming out first. So, Jessica, very many happy returns for Friday. Hope you had a great day. I understand that your dad's cooking a cake for you. I hope that that turned out all right. I'll get your dad to bring some in on Monday. Yeah, just saying. Right, okay, so what I want to talk about today is social networks and really the question of can you have too many of them? So in terms of social networks, your main ones are the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, until it shuts down, and things like Instagram, and there are so many others. I suppose you could classify Periscope as a social network. And then you've got other ones which are more focused on particular subjects. So you've got Flickr, which is a photo sharing network. You've got Untappd, which is a beer based social network. And you've also got podcast related ones. There's one called Podyssey, which allows you to share episodes and series of podcasts between members. Now, the thing about all of these is they are centralized, which means that when you're using, let's use, for example, Twitter, you're logging onto Twitter's service, you're logging onto Twitter's servers, your tweets that you post are being stored at Twitter. You don't hold that data. You have no control over that data. And you are subject to the terms and conditions of the service that you're posting to. Now, this might mean that they have the right to delete your details if they feel that you're posting things that are in violation of their terms of service. In the case of Facebook, and I think to some extent Google, you're not only feeding your timeline, you're also feeding their product. And this is one of the main things about free services, is that in using those services, you are then the product. If you think about how much data Facebook holds on you, and how much they know about you and your network, your social graph, as it's known, it's actually quite scary, the conclusions and the assumptions they can jump to about who you are and what you might be doing at any given point in time. There was a theory that Facebook was actually listening to conversations, particularly if you had a mobile device nearby that had Facebook installed on it, that you could be talking about something completely unrelated to anything you've ever spoken about on Facebook. And then the next time you go into Facebook, what do you know? There's an advert there for exactly the thing that you were just talking about. There was an investigation in an episode of Reply All. I'll see if I can dig out the link to that particular episode. To actually identify whether Facebook was listening to your conversations and whether they were using conversations to provide targeted advertising to you. And the conclusion was that it's not. It's just coincidental, but it certainly seems more than a coincidence that Facebook is actually using the knowledge that it has about you and the people you're with and the locations you're at to try and estimate what you might be interested in. It's a very interesting thing, and I would urge you to listen to that episode. Like I say, I'll put the link into the show notes once I've found it. And yeah, it's the same with all of these services. You're using their service, their infrastructure, Google and Facebook, and to some extent Twitter. They inject advertising into your stream, so you'll see posts and entries from sponsors, basically. Now, what you may not know is that there is a much larger family of services which are classified as federated. And this means that they can talk amongst themselves. So if you, like I said earlier on, if you log onto Twitter, you're logged onto Twitter, you're using Twitter's servers. But let's say, for example, you're on a social network like GNU Social. You're probably thinking to yourself, what's GNU Social? And it's exactly this. It is a federated social network, somewhat akin to Twitter. But you choose which service you log on to. So there are, I think it's something like 500, might be more. In fact, I do have a link here. GNU Social, about 200 servers on the GNU Social network at the moment. And each of those servers can talk with other servers. So I could be on abc.net, GNU Social server, and you could be on xyz.net, GNU Social server. And although I log on to one, you log on to the other, and my notices and photographs and whatever I post on there get initially stored on that server. If we follow each other, then you, on the server your account is on, will see my content. And that opens up a huge opportunity for choosing where your data is stored. So the things that you post, the photographs you post, you know which server they're stored on, which service they're stored on. And as is the case with the majority of these federated social networks, you can host your own. And case in point, I have my own server for GNU Social. So my account is on there. Caroline's account is on there. It's the only two accounts we've got on there at the moment. It's not an open service, so you can't have somebody walking in off the street and sign up for an account on my server. So it's a closed instance. However, we can follow and interact with people on other GNU Social servers through the protocol it uses to communicate. And that kind of opens up, it opens it up. It makes things a lot more transparent. If you're hosting your own server, you know where your data is. You know where your photographs are. And yes, they do get shipped to the other services, but at least you know that. But it also means that if a server decides to censor your content, it can only censor the content on that server. The server that you're connected to, unless they decide to delete it, obviously, so, you know, host your own, your data will not be affected by this. Now, the only downside to this is that there is a huge barrier for adoption, a technical barrier for adoption for these services to be able to host them yourself. I've had a GNU Social server. I think it was 2011 I first fired it up. So for 7 years. And it took a bit of effort to get it working. And actually, I've got a second one running at the moment. which I fired up as an attempt to learn from the mistakes I made of setting the first one up. So yeah, GNU Social is just one example. There are other ones. There's one called Diaspora, which was a crowdfunded one that I joined when it first started, but I've just kind of rejoined on a different server, a different pod. There's one called Pump.io, but that's more of a service protocol rather than a set of servers. So you can go to any server that's running the Pump.io software, log on to that, and interact with any other server on that network. And then you get to things like Mastodon. Now, Mastodon is fairly new to the federated social network scene, but it seems to have taken the world by storm. Now, GNU Social has been around for years. Diaspora more recently, Pump.io quite recently, but Mastodon I think's only been out in the last couple of years. In fact, if that long. But because Mastodon supports the same protocols that GNU Social and Pump.io do, you've now got an even wider spread of servers that you can communicate to. And at the moment, at the time of writing this, the article I'm looking at, I think there are 1,200 or over 1,200 Mastodon servers running on the internet at the moment. But I think you've still got the same issue of the barrier of adoption for the ability to run your own services. So going back to my original question as to how many social networks can you actually be a member of? Well, believe it or not, I do have a Facebook account, a Twitter account, a Google Plus account, an Instagram account, an Untapped account, a Podyssey account, a GNU Social account on at least two servers, a Diaspora account on at least two servers. I did have a Pump.io account, but the server that I was signed up to crashed and never got fixed. I'm not signed up to Mastodon at the moment, although it's a consideration. And there are probably loads of other ones I haven't mentioned. Now, I was having a chat with a chap yesterday, a good friend of mine lives up in Scotland, and he, to my knowledge, he's on Twitter, he's on Diaspora, and he's on GNU Social. And I follow him on all those services. And I'm seeing him post things to Twitter, I'm seeing him post the same thing to Diaspora, and then I'm seeing things that he's only posting to Diaspora and not to Twitter. And I'm like, are you mirroring these services? He says, no, I'll post to one, I'll post to the other, I'll post to both. Now, these Napod Pomo episodes I'm recording, I am currently posting to Twitter and Facebook and Diaspora once I've published an episode. I should probably be posting to GNU Social as well. But, all right, let's assume I do. That's now four social networks, federated or not, that I'm posting to. Why don't I post to Google Plus as well? That would make sense, because then I'm widening the audience. I should sign up to a Mastodon account and post to that as well. And you start to get into a situation where you're spreading your social networking so thin that it becomes more of an effort to maintain your presence on those services than it does to use them, if that makes sense. Up until recently, I was just using Twitter. Just using Twitter. That was my social network of choice. But I've got some friends that use Facebook. I've been threatening for ages to delete my Facebook account because of my data the concerns of the data and the Cambridge Analytica scandal and loads of things like that. Twitter, as far as I'm aware, doesn't do much in terms of data sharing. It certainly doesn't use my data as much as Facebook potentially does. Google Plus, I know it does, because that's the Google model. It uses your information in a very similar way to Facebook. But I know that with GNU Social, my data is there. And I know that my server host, because that's me, or even the servers on the other pods, they're not going to start picking that data up and making analytics on it and giving me targeted advertising based on it. And they're not going to sell that data to analytical companies for whatever purpose. So I know where that data's going. So I feel much more comfortable and safer by using an open service, an open federated service like Gnu Social Diaspora. Because bear in mind, these are also free software. I don't mean free cost-wise. I want about free as in freedom. So the source codes for them are available for people to look at if they want to find out if there is anything nefarious in these services. So you don't have to just do it on trust. Do I trust Facebook? No, of course I don't. Do I trust Google? Well, actually, yes, I do, because pretty much the whole of my online life is revolving around Google. I use most of Google services. Do I trust Twitter? Probably. We could even go onto messenger services. So my messenger service of choice is Telegram. Now, Telegram isn't open. It's not open source. And nor is it federated. But I know for a fact that the company that operates Telegram has no affiliation with any other company like Facebook or Twitter or Google or Apple or anything like that, so that I know that my data is not going to be shared with other services in order to build up a product around my identity. I also use WhatsApp. I wish I didn't, but I have to because there are people that are only on WhatsApp, so I want to be able to communicate with them. Do I trust WhatsApp? No, of course I don't. It's owned by Facebook. If I don't trust Facebook, I'm not going to trust WhatsApp. But, you know, needs must. And if you need to be able to talk to people using a common messenger service, you either move to what they're using or you try and persuade them to move to what you're using. The world and his wife's heard of WhatsApp. But who's heard of Telegram? Have you heard of Telegram? Probably not. Anyway, I've been waffling on for quite some time and I am tired and I need to go to bed. 18 minutes so far. So this is going to be the biggest, longest show so far. So I'm going to try not to breach 20. So if I start this music, then that will prompt me to hurry up. Thank you very much indeed to Jono, Codger, Jonathan, Chris, Rich and Al for interacting with me over the last few days and letting me know you're listening. It's good to know. So I will be back on Sunday morning with something. I don't know what yet. So enjoy your Saturday and I will catch you tomorrow. I hope you can join me.